And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
An Iron Age temple discovered at Tel Matzah, near Jerusalem, calls into question the biblical claim that Solomon's temple was alone in the ancient kingdom of Judah. Solomon's temple, which is also known as the First Temple, stood from the 10th century BC until its destruction by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. According to the Bible, the Jewish people were prohibited from worshipping outside of Solomon's temple, and the other high places of worship were destroyed. However, experts unearthed another temple in Judah, which is what is today southern Israel, which dates back to between around 900 to 600 BC and is attached to a granary. This other temple had 150 congregants who worshipped Yahweh, but also used idols in order to commune with the divine. Experts think the granary was powerful enough to have its temple excused, hinting that the Kingdom of Judah was not initially as strong as it would later become. The Iron Age site at Tel Matzah, which was first discovered in the early 90s, lies around 4 miles outside of Jerusalem. The temple at the site was unearthed in 2012, however, with in-depth excavations taking place last year in advance of a road construction project. According to archaeologists Shua Kilsilvetz and Oded Lipschitz of Tel Aviv University, the temple was built around 900 BC and remained in operation for around 300 years. This means that the temple was in use in the 8th and 7th centuries BC, during which worship outside of Solomon's temple was beginning to be outlawed. The Bible details the religious reforms of King Hezekiah and King Josiah, the researchers wrote in the magazine Biblical Archaeology Review. They assertedly consolidated worship practices to Solomon's temple in Jerusalem and eliminated all cultic activity beyond its boundaries. If a group of people living so close to Jerusalem had their own temple, maybe the rule of the Jerusalem elite was not so strong and the kingdom was not so well established as described in the Bible, Ms. Kiselevitz told Life Science. The only other known temple within the Kingdom of Judah from this time was a small temple in the southern border fort of Arad, which served the local garrison, Ms. Kiselevitz added. Perhaps, the researchers propose, the continued existence of the temple was sanctioned, despite flying in the face of Hezekiah and Josiah's reforms. The Tel Matzah site was home to a granary with dozens of silos for grain storage and movement, as well as what appear to be administrative buildings. The duo believe that Tel Matzah became so successful as a granary that it ended up catering to Jerusalem and becoming powerful in its own right, enough so that its associated temple was exempted. It seems that the construction of the temple and the worship conducted in it were related to the granary's economic significance, the researchers wrote. The temple at Tel Matzah was a rectangular structure with an open courtyard in front, which served as a focal point for the cultic activity, as the general population was not allowed into the temple itself, Ms. Kiselevitz told Live Science. Cultic finds in the courtyard include a stone-built altar on which animals were sacrificed and their remains discarded into a pit dug nearby, she added. Excavations have also recovered 4 broken clay figures that were buried in the courtyard, likely as part of a cultic ritual. 2 of the clay statuettes resembled humans, while the other 2 appear to be the oldest known depictions of horses from Judah's Iron Age, the researchers said. Instead of worshipping these idols, however, Ms. Kiselevitz thinks they were used as a medium through which the people could communicate with the god or gods. Evidence of cultic activity throughout the Kingdom of Judah exists both in the biblical text, depicted as royally sanctioned, with the notable exception of Hezekiah and Josiah, who conducted cultic reform, and in archaeological finds, she added. The adherence to old cultic practices may also have been a reaction to the emergence of new political groups in the Levant, the region that today includes Israel and its neighboring countries, the researchers said. In volatile times, people tend to stick to familiar practices, they added, noting that the artifacts and the design of the temple at Tel Matzah appear to hark back to religious traditions from the ancient Near East, practiced since before 2000 BC. Archaeologists digging in the Roman Forum have discovered an underground temple and tomb that could be the burial place of Romulus, the legendary founder of the city. Alfonsina Russo, director of the Colosseum Archaeological Park, said an area devoted to Romulus and a rock sarcophagus about 1.4 meters long, believed to date from the 6th century BC, had been unearthed. This is an extraordinary discovery. The forum never ceases to yield amazing fresh treasures, she said. The underground temple is located below the entrance stairway to the Curia, a building that survives today and where Roman senators met to vote. Ms. Russo said that scholars believe the temple's altar had been placed on the spot where ancient Romans held that Romulus was buried. He is said to have killed his twin brother Remus in the process of establishing the city in 753 BC, as well as starting a tradition of contentious Roman politics. However, there were no bones in the sarcophagus. Andrea Steiner, editor of the magazine Archaeo, said the find had taken place near that of the Lapis Niger, a black stone shrine discovered in 1899 that bears an inscription in Greek referring to sacred ground that must not be disturbed. It refers to the burial site of a holy king, and the oldest and most important king is Romulus, he said. In Roman mythology, Romulus and his twin brother Remus were left in a basket on the river Tiber. In legend, they were sons of Rhea Silvia, the daughter of Numitor, the former king of Alba Longa. Through this lineage, the twins were descended from the Trojan hero Ananias and Latinus. A she-wolf found the twins at the base of a fig tree after their mother was forced to abandon them. The wolf cared for the boys and raised them, letting them suckle on her. They learned of their true ancestry as they grew up and overthrew Amulius, the man who forced them to be abandoned. The two brothers set out to build their own city but could not agree on where. An ensuing melee resulted in the death of his brother Remus. The Roman Forum, known as the Forum Romanum in Latin, was the heartbeat of both ancient Rome and its continent-straddling empire. Historians believe people first began meeting in the Forum in 500 BC when the Roman Republic was founded. The area is situated between Palatine Hill and Capitoline Hill. The Temple of Julius Caesar is the most striking monument and was built a couple of years after ancient Rome's most famous leader was murdered in 44 BC. A gruesome scene has been discovered at a Belgian cathedral, a wall made entirely of human bones. The 500-year-old partition was uncovered at St. Barbo in the city of Ghent, which is constructed of thigh and shin bones from adults, with skulls placed in spaces in the structure. Experts believe the bones were removed from the graveyard outside the church to make room for new graves, and because skeletal remains could not be thrown away, they were repurposed as a wall in the church. The cathedral was built in the 17th century. But archaeologists believe the bones were already 200 years old when they were used as building materials. Project leader Janiek de Grys told Brussels Times, "This is a phenomenon we've not yet come across here." Given that the faithful believed in a resurrection of the body, the bones were considered the most important part. That is why stone houses were sometimes built against the walls of city graveyards to house skulls and the long bones in what is called an ossuary. St. Barbo is built on the site of the former chapel of St. John the Baptist that was built in 942. The construction of the Gothic church began in 1274. In the summer of 1556, bands of Calvinists, Eichelenists, visited Catholic churches in the Netherlands, shattering stained glass windows, smashing statues, and destroying paintings and other artworks they perceived as idolatrous. Although gruesome, the wall at St. Barbo is nothing compared to what was uncovered at a small church in Kent, one of the largest and best-preserved collections of ancient human bones and skulls in Britain. The collection includes over 1,000 skulls on the shelves in four arched bays, and one single stack of bones is over 1.8 metres in height. The morbid crypt is housed at St. Leonard's Church in Hythe in Kent. Photographer Derek Field visited the collection in June last year and has taken stunning photographs of it. He said, "It's the best collection of ancient bones and skulls in the country, and one of only two ossuaries in the UK, so I had to go see it for myself." The bones were thought to be remnants of those who fell in the Battle of Hastings, but it turns out they were local residents from the 13th to the 15th century. The remains are mostly female, with only a few skulls showing signs of trauma from blows. Although it's impossible to estimate the number of bones in the collection, recent work has guessed that the total of individuals represented in the stack is approximately 2,000. A number of skulls indicate breakages and injury, while others have incidents and evidence of disease from deficiencies and infection. Despite the macabre setting, the photographer found the atmosphere calming. He said, "It felt serene and peaceful. It's very atmospheric and very well kept, a real hidden gem. There is no doubt looking at a wall of human skulls is not your everyday experience, but this didn't feel sad or oppressive, as these people mostly died from natural causes." In an ironic twist, one of the skulls had signs of life after death. Mr. Fields said, "The best surprise I got from the script was seeing a bird's nest in one of the skulls." The collection is similar to the Fontale Cemetery in Naples, which was used as a mass grave for victims of the plague of 1656. Visitors bring gifts for the bones, which some believe create a link between the living and the dead, and ask for favours in return. And finally, Pastor Jamie was lost walking through the Sahara Desert, desperate for water, when he saw something far off in the distance. Hoping to find water, he walked towards the image, only to find a little old man sitting at a card table with a bunch of neckties laid out on it. Pastor Jamie asked, "Please, I'm dying of thirst. Can I have some water?" The man replied, "I don't have any water, but why don't you buy a tie? Here's one that goes nicely with that shirt." Jamie shouted, "I don't want a tie, you idiot. I need water." "Okay, don't buy a tie. But to show you what a nice guy I am, just over that hill there, about 4 miles away, is a nice restaurant. Walk that way. They'll give you all the water you want." Jamie thanked him and staggered away towards the hill and eventually disappeared. 3 hours later, Jamie came crawling back to where the man was sitting behind his card table. He said, "I told you, about 4 miles over the hill. Couldn't you find it?" Jamie rasped, "I found it all right. They wouldn't let me in without a tie."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.